Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You never stop, do you, Aragon?
What's that?
Never stop adding to your lane.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We big heard. Moment in Vikings history last week.
We,
yeah, four of them.
Yeah. Wasn't really good. How about this guy? 108, and we're chatting with Collar. Is KOC chatting in about 15, 20 minutes? Is that what's going on?
So that will be tomorrow. Things are moved back by a day because of Monday Night Football, which is why our schedule is a little bit different. But the open practice will be happening shortly, and then locker room after that.
They make the obvious decision. We are watching this unfolding tragedy in Los Angeles. They needed to make this move. They do. The game now, as people know, will be played in Glendale where the Cardinals play. SoFi is not exactly U.S. Bank Stadium. It is not Ford Field, but it is still an advantage. How do you try to quantify the advantage the Vikings have gained from moving this game from Southern California to Glendale, Arizona?
Well, I noticed that the folks in Vegas, whose job it is to quantify these things, have given a point and a half more to the Vikings. So I think that they view it as a pretty significant advantage for Minnesota. And I would agree. I mean, when you consider that, I mean, LA is an event town. If there's something exciting going on, those people are going to show. So for a playoff game, now maybe on a Thursday night football game, whatever, but for a playoff game, I had expected a lot of Rams fans to be in those seats. I also expected Vikings fans to have been pretty downtrodden after last week and maybe not wanting to fly into the center of one of the biggest disasters the country has faced in a long time, and rather, maybe not go try to take over another team's stadium. So my expectation was that it was going to be a pretty big and pro Rams crowd. And now, and I'm sure some of their season ticket holders are traveling to Glendale, but are they going to get a half full stadium of Rams fans at best? And when you think about the snowbirds from Minnesota that live in Arizona already, probably a lot of fans who may be a little inspired by the price difference. It's not that hard to get a, you know, whatever airline sponsors your show, flight out there to Arizona, and, you know, hotel. I paid, I think, $250 less for my hotel in Arizona than I was going to in Los Angeles. So that might factor in for fans who want to say, hey, let's make this a home game. Let's try to actually get inspired here to go give the Vikings an edge. I think there's going to be a lot of those Vikings fans who fly out there. And just in general, I mean, is it going to be a full stadium? Are they going to just open the doors to the local? Right, I doubt it. And it's not even in Phoenix, so it's not like you can just say everybody come to Phoenix. No. So I'm thinking
close,
that this stadium, I'm thinking it's going to be like a London game where there's going to be cheering for things that happen, but nobody is getting the noise advantage. And I also think, too, the Vikings were planning on getting on a plane, flying to somewhere, and playing football. The Los Angeles Rams were not planning on leaving their city, as many of them will be afraid about what's going on at home with their homes and their neighborhoods and things like that. I think there's a lot of stress on the Los Angeles Rams franchise here.
Okay, let's get to one serious note, too, before we get back to the game. Your bride and our friend, Sloan, that's where her family, that's where she grew up. How is everybody, how are they dealing? Have they faced any of the punishment from this fire?
Luckily, they have not. They live in an area they call the Valley out there, which is not really that close to where a lot of the fires are going on. But even in their neighborhood, some embers blew into an area that started on fire. They were able to put it out really quickly, but that was just around the corner. I mean, it really tells you how different this one is because of the violent winds that they've had to face. I mean, it's hard enough when you get a regular storm that's sweeping, a firestorm is sweeping through the hills there. I mean, that causes enough problems. But this one, with the wind, you could be talking about, super hot embers blowing miles and miles and miles away and starting new fires that can sweep through a neighborhood really quickly. So they still have to be concerned about it. But luckily for them, they're not in a main area. But, yeah. I mean, you just... Every person you talk to has friends, family members. I know Kevin O'Connell said this yesterday, that he knows a lot of people who are having to escape their homes and things like that. So just a terrifying situation going on.
This is Matthew Collar from Purple Insider, purpleinsider.football. Okay, let's talk Darnold, and let's talk about the issues tied to Darnold and what happened Sunday and whether that's an aberration, because we agree he had a great season. But Aaron Glenn was extraordinarily aggressive, cover zero 14 times, more than anybody the entire year. The left side of the line in Brandell and Robinson did not hold up well. And Sam, I thought, was overwhelmed by the moment from the start, and then the blitzing just added to it. If it was this easy, every team would do it. But the way the Rams play defensively, they can't just reinvent the wheel. What approach do you expect them to take when they know what Detroit did versus the approach they ended up taking early in the year when they also won that game at SoFi against the Vikings?
It's really wild how much of an outlier the Lions game was in so many different ways. How often they sent zero pressures, which means sending everybody except for the guys covering receivers, but also how bad Sam Darnold was against it, because this entire season he's been at the top of the NFL in terms of quarterback rating against the blitz. And so if you had told me before the game, yeah, they're just going to blitz all the time, I would have thought, well, this is where KOC really thrives, right? And that Darnold's had the answers, and he's been able to escape. And there were a few times in the game where Darnold made the right decision and just didn't make the right throw and overthrew his man, which I think it's not wrong to connect that to the stage and the jitters and the noise at Ford Field. They've faced nothing like that all year long. There's only a couple times I've covered games that have been as loud as Ford Field was, which I think affected them to some extent. And sometimes it's just a no good, rotten day for a football team. And I think that was really the case. But the Rams, the last time they played the Vikings, they didn't blitz at all. And they don't really have to, because they have a really excellent defensive line. So they can rush forward. Jared Verse, their rookie, has been outstanding. Byron Young is a guy they've developed over a couple of years. Braden Fisk, another draft pick that they hit a home run on up front. I mean, I think with last year's defensive rookie of the year, Kobe Turner, that's their D-line. They got four dudes who get after the passer. So I don't think they're going to.
And that's after losing Aaron Darnold.
Yeah, right. And it's, I mean, they did the right thing. They lost Aaron Donald, and then they drafted every player they could on the D-line.
Yes.
This makes a lot of sense, right?
You're correct.
To try to take a lot of swings there. But, I mean, that's a huge challenge. It's a huge challenge for this offensive line, which I think the Vikings offensive line, week to week, we don't know, because against Green Bay, they were great.
Yeah.
They played the best game we've seen pass blocking in 5 years, and then they go to Detroit and struggle so much. So I am really fascinated to see how they go about it. But that's where the game gets decided for me. How do you handle these four beasts that are coming at them? Because if they even do a decent job there, the secondary of the Rams is pretty underwhelming.
Collar with us. Okay, so when they play in the regular season, they lose the Lions in the entertaining game at U.S. Bank. They go out there, and it seems to me the Wednesday before the Thursday game, oh, Cup's not going to play, Puka's not going to play. Wait a second. Both are playing, and both were effective. In reading your work this week, it seems like you think Puka is the much better player right now. But what do you think about just the weapons? Where Stafford is at compared to the best parts of his career? They also have Tyler Higbee. So the group of skill players the Vikings and Brian Flores will face Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, Cooper Kupp has really been a non-factor for the Rams this year, which is kind of wild when you think about how great he was just a couple years ago. But I think there's been a lot of toll on his body. Puka Nacua might be the third best wide receiver in the NFL behind Jamar Chase. I mean, I'd throw CeeDee Lamb in there, but I would put him right up there. I mean, you talk about a big game against Arizona a couple weeks ago. He gets 10 catches, 129 yards. Like, they lean on him super heavily, and you see why. He's enormous, and he's very skilled, and he breaks tackles, and he catches everything. And I guess what I've wondered is, will the Vikings deploy something that they have basically never done this year, which is a double-team type of system with Puka Nacua to try to take him away in Belichickian-type fashion? Because Flores has not really played a lot of man coverage all year long. It's been a lot of zones, a lot of rally to the football, and force bad decisions from the quarterback. But this quarterback, he doesn't make too many bad decisions. Matthew Stafford has changed a lot since the Detroit Lions guy that got sacked 10 times against the Vikings on one Sunday. I mean, he's now getting the ball out quick. He's not taking sacks. He's making smart decisions. So it does come down to a lot of, can you tackle him? And can you force one or two bad plays? Force him to beat you with somebody else. Because when you look at the rest of their wide receivers, I mean, the way that Kupp's playing, Higbee is kind of just the guy. They run the ball okay, but it's not a terrifying run game. There's someone named Jordan Whittington. Like, there's just nobody that's terrifying outside of Nacua. So the entire game plan has to be there. And how much do you blitz Stafford? They love to blitz, and they've done it all year long, and that's how they've created the most turnovers in the league. But this is a guy who picks the blitz apart. So that battle right there, and the Rams don't have a very good offensive line, so they will have to get the ball out quickly, and how the Vikings deal with that has to be better than it was last time, because they throttled that Vikings defense getting the ball out fast.
Last thing real quick, Mel Kiper today says and writes that the New York Giants in the upcoming draft should trade the number 3 pick for J.J. McCarthy. You hear that and say what?
I just don't think so. I don't think the Vikings will do that. I mean, that'd be a heck of a haul for J.J. McCarthy, for sure. But I think the Vikings are in such a wonderful position. And this is what I just want to remind some Vikings fans who are spending their whole days arguing about the salary cap and everything else.
Yes,
they are in a tremendous position to keep Sam Darnold, who's gotten him to this point of 14 wins and a top 7 season at quarterback, and develop J.J. McCarthy slowly. It's so funny how when they draft McCarthy, everyone's on board with, hey, if you got to develop him for a year or two, do it. And then now that we're here, it's like, get rid of Darnold. I mean, it's like they are in a great position to be able to see how it plays out with Darnold and then decide on McCarthy as they get to see him in practice every day, have him in the building for a full other year. I think that he still is their long-term option in the same way Jordan Love was for the Packers, even if Darnold comes back for next season. So I just don't think it would be wise to trade away somebody that you're so excited about their future and could be here 10 years from now just for one draft pick.
Great stuff, man. Get to your job. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ed.
Matthew Collar, PurpleInsider.Football, 100% worth your time. So I'm glad Mark brought this up earlier. This is National Quitters Day. Congratulations to all of us.
We've made it again.
So the theory is, go ahead and tell people the bumper music, another excellent, excellent tune here.
Yeah, Prison Grove from Warren Zevon.
So underrated.
Recorded this, I didn't realize. Springsteen is among those singing background vocals in this tune.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. And
who's that? I'm familiar with him.
I can't. What do they call him? The something with a B. I can't.
Okay.
The theme is prison time, serving time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to go along with Trump's very harsh sentence today.
Yeah, tough.
In the hush money trial.
Tough one.
Zevon also recorded this tune very shortly before he died.
I still remember. I don't remember how far away it was from his death. But when Dave had him on, when Letterman had him on.
Yes, that's right.
For the whole show.
Yeah.
And he was playing tunes, and he didn't look good. And it was great. It was just, you could tell the admiration that Letterman in particular had for him, but obviously also Paul Schaefer and the whole band.
Yeah.
And
this tune's just about sitting in prison and looking outside and seeing nothing and
there was
dying of cancer.
Yeah. How about that? There was one song because of my job for 16 years where I never, ever need to hear Werewolves of London ever again.
You want me to play it?
No, I don't need to hear it because the Wolves' creativity was just great that we had to play it like 9 times every game. And I didn't need to hear it, but he's got 50 other songs that I just absolutely love. So it's National Quitters Day. The theory is if you come up with a New Year's resolution, this is a spot when you... I'm tapping out.
Yeah, it's enough.
I'm tapping out. I've never been much of a resolution person. I did say this year we're going to do a lot more video. We're not off to a great start, but it's very early.
10 days in.
Yeah, we're still going to. I'd like to hear from people, what is the toughest thing they've had to quit? What is the toughest thing you've had to quit? Could be a relationship. Could be smoking. Could be alcohol. Could be overwhelming your kids. Could be a lot of things. I am a deeply flawed individual. I'm not much of an addictive person, though. I don't have that gene for some reason, and I'm lucky. Now, some of it, some willpower, sure. But some of it, I think it's just good fortune that I was lucky. Some food choices. But like big vices, like smoking cigarettes never did a damn thing for me. Ever. Did I smoke pot a lot of my younger life? Yeah. I liked it. I barely smoke pot at all now, even though in theory it's legal. We'll get to it in like 2045. When I do, I enjoy it, but I just don't do it much. Hardly at all.
Did you pull back for a specific reason? Just growing up and...
I didn't feel like I was irresponsible in any way because I was smoking pot. None. Didn't feel like I was burning brain cells. I didn't put myself in jeopardy. You know, there was a point in my life when I was really busy.
Yeah.
You know?
Too much going on is a reason.
Multiple jobs and multiple kids. And I had 4 or 5 other families, you know, that I was seeing. Sometimes. You know, so a little bit of that. But if occasionally a friend offers me a hit or something like that, I enjoy it. I'm like, yeah, this is good. I like it. I'm fine. You know? Smoking, I bet I've never finished a cigarette in my life, I don't think. It's funny. I just liked how pot made me feel, and I just didn't like Bill Clinton inhaling the smoke. So now, my sister and mother, both, you know, tremendous individuals. When I was younger, I had asthma growing up. And I have distinct memories. In fact, I was telling this story last night where in our basement, in our house in Golden Valley, the greatest city on planet Earth, where we're in this small, confined area in a basement, my mother and sister both smoking cigarettes as we're folding clothes. And I'm right there, 6 or 7 or something like that, and I have asthma coffee.
What a time that was.
Yeah. The folks who sometimes have an image of what they think my childhood was like and what it was really like is rather amusing. I have friends of mine who battled forever to try to stop smoking and still go back and forth. I have a friend of mine who's talking on the radio right now. And when I knew him, he just told me one day, I'm stopping. And Common never smoked again. Just did it. And it's, I don't doubt the chemical, the dopamine, what addiction does to us. And we've watched some people lie about certain addictions. Okay. Golf is my vice. Like, could I quit golf? God, I wanted to last year when I was playing like horse bleep. And then when I played better in the end of the year, I was like, woo, I'm back.
But you couldn't quit. That's the thing.
I I enjoy it, right? Have there been points in my life where I didn't play nearly as much? Sure. Yes. So could I quit? Yeah, I just would miss it.
You'd miss the camaraderie.
I would miss a lot of it. I still like competing against myself, you know. But, yeah, that's what I have a lot of friends through golf. And a lot of it is the fun, is the interaction. Now, if I have fun and I'm with them for 4 hours and then I play like bleep, do I enjoy it nearly as much? I don't. And that's on me. That's my fault. But so let's talk golf. Let's talk Tiger. I don't believe he was a sex addict in any way because of what happened. Because the Sunday before the Masters starts, he magically announces he's completed his treatment and in 2010 participates in the Masters and is a factor.
That's just good timing.
Just worked out that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened? Tiger was a nerd growing up, became famous, gained some weight, good looking, gets married to a stunning woman, and then all of a sudden, wait a second. These other guys I'm traveling with, they've got wives and they're sleeping around. Why can't I do that? He just got caught. Have I heard stories of people? Nobody that I know directly, but stories that I've heard from people I trust where they're frightening stories about sex addiction. Like what they're doing over and over and over and over again during the day. Yes. So I believe that's possible. So there are addictions that are unconventional. But I would be curious to hear from people. What was the toughest thing you had to quit? Do you you tell me if you have something in mind. I can think maybe giving up on a relationship. Maybe, you know, and is that, I think that counts, right? Not easy, because that's something powerful in your life. But when this is National Quitters Day, because of they think this is when a lot of people tap out on resolutions, and some of these are life-altering. Some of these are more lighthearted things that, you know, my life would be a little bit better because I don't do it, versus, God, if I keep smoking, if I keep drinking, if I keep doing whatever it might be, this is going to curtail how much I can enjoy life or literally curtail my life.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, I love some candor from people, too. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. All right. Among the folks, and I really appreciate a lot of texts here. Thank you so much. You can call if you'd like to elaborate. You certainly can. You can also go to the Odyssey app. Click on the microphone. You can leave a message there. Could be serious. Could be funny. You can talk for about 30 seconds or so.
I was going to mention, since you brought that up.
Yeah.
Am I wrong coming up in an hour?
Yeah.
We're looking for a couple new committee members.
Oh.
Every year we have some, you know, turnover.
Did you fire some individuals?
Well, not necessarily firing, but they just didn't. Yeah, we're welcome back with open arms. Let's just say that.
Got it.
Their contracts weren't renewed.
Mm.
If people have Am I Wrong contributions today.
Yeah, suggestions.
We'd be very happy to take them via the app and hitting the microphone feature.
So are you suggesting unless those come in, we might get some best ofs today?
No. We have no best ofs today.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of best ofs, just none to play today.
Okay.
I've got plenty, but if people...
Good.
I wanted to add this once I found out that
Good
a couple
idea.
Of the committee members weren't coming back this year.
We've used the microphone a little bit. I think Adam and Jordana have used it more. I'd love for us to use it more. So thank you to our audience. Chime in. Go to the Odyssey app. Click on that microphone. Leave a 30-second message. Drinking, Dan says, that's way on the list, right? Way high on the list. I mean, we were just talking about the guy with 21 DUIs the other day. That's not only a drinking problem, that's a responsibility problem. That's an addictive issue. Texter says, this show, I don't want you to quit that. Keep that going.
Yeah, it sounds like they haven't quit this show.
Yeah, please don't. Please don't. You could follow us on the Twitter machine, too, at Chad Hartman Show, at Dave_Harrigan. Instagram, I'm about due to put up a picture or two this weekend, Chad Hartman Show. And then podcasts. I really, really, really would like us to continue to add more folks who consume us through podcasts. And it's simple. Dave will give you a segment. He'll give you a half hour. I'll give you an hour. You sign up. You can listen to whatever you would like, including the entire show, or maybe nothing. You can listen the next day and go, not one segment did a damn thing for me. I'm done with you. I'll come back to you the next day. But sign up. It's all right there on your phone. Chad Hartman Show. Hands down, cigarettes. They're hard to quit, man. They are hard to quit. Now, right now, it's also hard to smoke cigarettes because we've raised the prices so much. Mm-hmm. Somebody text me right now. I don't have a clue. What a pack of cigarettes, a carton of cigarettes, what do they cost? Here's another issue. You used to be able to smoke cigarettes about everywhere. Now, it's shrinking. So few spots, restaurants and bars have been out for a while, where on a city land, county land, a lot of homeowners like, no, get outside. It's tough to be a smoker. Like, it's better this winter because it's not that cold. But, man, you see the dedication of the smokers when it's 15, 20 below, and they're still out there smoking.
They are the most dedicated to their vice of anyone on earth.
I agree.
It's incredible.
The debate either, for me, it's either smokers or runners. Because that's also an addiction. When you're out there running at 5, 10 below, and I got it, layers. You know? You still need it, man.
Yeah, wearing the face mask and the sweat is just frozen on there by the time you're done.
Yeah.
Let's take a photo, selfie and send that out. That's what I was doing today.
Yeah, circling back, that's moist.
Very moist.
That's moist. What are you seeing cigarette prices there?
Average around the country, about $8 a pack.
Wow.
Obviously varying state to state based on taxes and all that.
Oh, man. Caffeine. Coffee is the number one addiction on planet Earth, correct? What would be close?
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's got to be it.
I mean, unless you talk about sugar addiction.
Yep. I don't think, and we're going to get to sugar folks here because they're lining up, and I appreciate it.
That's me.
Oh, I'm in that category. I think there's a lot of us who might think we're eating healthier, and we're really not because we forget how much sugar is in fill in the blank, which, oh, okay, we're not going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do we all know? Like, everyone who's listening knows, and maybe it's them. I can't function without my coffee. I can't function without my second cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Two of us are lucky. Does nothing for me. Insomniac, who likes to be consuming things during the day, whether it's hot chocolate, water, the occasional Pepsi, whatever. Yeah, pop is one for me. I need to stop. And I even bought more pop the other day. Just dumb. Dumb. Outside, I like it. It's dumb. But coffee, man, I mean, I don't like the taste. I don't like the smell. But it's powerful.
Yeah, and we're willing to pay as much as, I mean, $8 a pack of cigarettes.
God, yes.
I mean, Starbucks isn't that much off.
This texter, an Excedrin addiction. I suffer from migraines, and I would take Excedrin during the migraine. I would consume 8 to 10 per day, thinking it would prevent a migraine. All right, I'm knocking on Formica here because I'll tell my version. My mother had horrible migraines growing up, and then they continued when she was an adult, and I had some of those as a kid, and then they went away until the mid-90s. And then in the mid-90s until, I don't know, it was like 2011, 12, something like that. They were a huge part of my life. Then they mainly left me. And I don't think I did anything dramatically different. But I've had 6 or 7 in the last year. And they're awful. They are debilitating. They are incapacitating. Like it's Kathleen, you have to get Q. I was at the Foo Fighters. One of the 3 or 4 bands I love the most. And I get that ocular preview, and I knew I was in deep, deep trouble. Quitting 18 years of drug and alcohol abuse was difficult. Clean for 32 years. Bravo. I guess Pot, also a texter, says, I saw my young daughter crawling. I thought it's not fair to be for her to be around Pot. Also, the Netflix American Primeval is excellent. Well, I would say this about drinking or smoking or coffee, and smoke includes pot. If you do it in a way where you control it, it doesn't control you. It doesn't take away your responsibility. Then I don't think you automatically have to quit. Me. That's just my personal view. You obviously all get to do whatever you want. If it's something you worry about the power it has on you and affecting your responsibility with your children, that's a totally different situation. Is sugar the hardest thing for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, without question. I'm like you. I don't have a terribly addictive personality, certainly not to drugs. I've never smoked a thing in my life.
Yeah.
It has not ever interested me. Alcohol, I like. I don't love.
Mm-hmm.
Drink a week, maybe.
Yep.
But sugar, specifically chocolate, I try every year, multiple times a year. Okay, I need to cut back. I need to not buy these things. If they're in the house, I need to just not eat them. I need to put them somewhere where I won't see them. And you know what happens when I put them somewhere where I don't see them?
You go find
them. I still know where they are. I still know where they are.
Yeah.
And if there's an open bag, of chocolate chips in the house, you know, say somebody used a few for whatever.
Your sense of smell?
I mean, just I am drawn to it like a moth to flame, baby, and that thing is done.
Go find the Norm MacDonald moth joke. It's amazing. The hardest drug to quit is sugar. More. I started smoking and drinking heavily while working a bar. The way I stopped both was to stop buying them, stop being around it. More text. Reading all your texts here. 6 foot one. Slow guy, can't jump. I ultimately had to quit my downward arc towards an NBA career that I desired. Somebody's mad that Major, who has covered Donald Trump incredibly close,
wrote a book on him.
Donald will tell you today he has great respect for Major Garrett. Major Garrett is giving us analysis on how Donald Trump felt yesterday, which is what he does for a living, which is what he's compensated to do heavily, which he does for free on this show. And this person's mad because he's providing the analysis. Just accept you're a Trump supporter, and there's nothing wrong with that, and you don't want to hear anything that has a hint of negativity. But funny, if this person, if Major, in this case, would have been providing something about Bill Clinton feeling slighted yesterday or Barack Obama feeling slighted yesterday, the person would have enjoyed it. That's what Major does. He wrote a book. He covered Trump. He knows him. He provided his analysis on how he felt. That's what people do in his business. It's not that complicated.
And he's really good at it.
And he's absolutely fantastic at it. It's 48 past 1 on CCO. Shaletta in the house early next hour. Am I wrong? Should I assume Jason is on following us?
You should assume that.
Okay, and that means Card to Sharks.
As always, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, which is very, very popular. We're talking addiction. I'm not addicted to TikTok, but I thoroughly enjoy it. I really do. Could I be serving the world in a better way than watching a Curb segment that I've already watched 7 times before?
Could be helping the homeless.
I could be doing a lot of things. But you're also allowed to do things and volunteer and help. And we're going to talk some volunteering with Shaletta and helping prevent aging from a study we both saw about a week ago that we haven't got to yet. I like it. It makes me laugh. I don't personally use TikTok as a news source. I use other sites that I go to constantly because of this weird job I have. But today, in front of the Supreme Court, you had a hearing on TikTok. And I listened to some of it, and By the way, we not only should be able to hear it, we should be able to see it. It's 2025. Let's try this new thing called a camera.
Shh.
And the Supreme Court.
It's the Supreme Court.
My God.
Behind closed doors.
We can't offer any regulations on them.
Secret.
And then maybe we get to hear it live like we did today. So I always think we should be wary about this because I looked at four or five stories and they all kind of said something similar to this. A majority of the court appeared likely to uphold the ban on TikTok. I don't know this anywhere near as well as some of the legal experts we've had on over the years. But there are many times when there's been the instant analysis and the justices asked more pointed questions one way, and then it turned out the ruling came in another way, and people are like, whoa, who saw that coming? They're asking questions. They're not automatically telling you exactly what they're going to say.
Yeah, but Chad, you know, as well as anyone else, if we don't play this like the horse race, going to have a winner and loser and make our predictions early, what are we doing?
That's it. We have to.
What's the betting line right now?
We have to. It could be a fire. It could be anything. Instant reaction. Tell me exactly what you think, even if maybe we could just wait a little bit and find out. So it was 2 hours. And many of these justices were leaning to what's been approved by Congress. One that not as much the First Amendment as China. The concern that China and ByteDance, and has ByteDance put enough walls in place where if China wants to change up the algorithm, they could, and all of a sudden we're all just going to love Xi Jinping. When I'm looking at my cooking recipes, and I'm looking at Curb, and I'm looking at golf stuff, I'm not worried that the Chinese government is influencing me. I'm sorry, I'm not.
Just wait till you start getting those Curb deepfakes. Larry talking about how great Beijing is.
Yeah, when that happens, then I guess...
I don't remember that episode.
Yeah. So, Trump at one point was against it. Then now we had some individuals who were with ByteDance who started to support him. And I know this is going to shock you. He's changed his view.
Flip-flopper.
He's a flip-flopper. Biden against it. Donald, in what was just such a wordly, strangely worded order sent to the Supreme Court. It wasn't on the basis of... of laws A, B, and C, this is why we think you should hold off on ruling on the Supreme Court until I take over. It was basically, I'm such a good negotiator. That's what it was. I'm a great negotiator.
Part of the deal.
So let me get there. John Roberts, skeptical of the First Amendment, now it applies. They're not fine with the foreign adversaries that determine is gathering of this information from the 170 million people use TikTok. Roberts also pressed the TikTok lawyer on the lack of precedent of court striking down a law on First Amendment grounds that was crafted around regulating a company's corporate structure. Listen, it is different on the First Amendment on where the company is based. I and Kavanaugh looked at national security concerns. I don't trust China. This will shock you. I'm pro-America. I don't think this is their way where they're getting to us through TikTok. I don't. I think it's silly. I think we're overreacting. I'll miss TikTok if this seemingly goes away. And I hope something pops up quickly to replace it. But why haven't we had that before? Why isn't an American company? I know we can say Facebook, Reels.
Instagram. It's very TikTok-like now.
It is. It's not quite as good, I don't think, but that's the closest. But you would think American entrepreneurs would have said, okay, fine, if you're wary of this, we would have come up with Harriganville
Just call it Tic Tac. This is Tic Tac. Yes. This is Tic Tac.
That's right. I forgot about that. It would have happened, but I don't think it's looking good. So I want a replacement ready right away because I don't want to miss out on the fun. Shaletta early next hour. Linda's Construction Time Check. It's time for us to stop talking. Time to save on home insulation by getting a $500 discount on your project.